welcome to the Pod of the Damned. I'm your host, Ian. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Nico. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm just happy that we're finally back recording movie reviews, because it's been such a long time. But we're here, we're back. It's our first actual movie review of 2024. We've gotten all the bumps out of the way. We did our Christmas episode. We did a preview episode. We did our awards episode. We've done our 100th episode. So we've got fuck all to look forward to now, Nico.
Here's to the 150th.
I mean, at this rate, we'll probably get there by like 2028 or something.
For fuck's sake.
Anyways, we are a horror podcast that deep dives into a different topic every week in our quest to create a leaderboard of the best and worst horror movies of all time. This is episode number 101, and in today's show, we're talking all about the 1986 sci-fi action horror movie sequel, Aliens. But before we get into it, if you would like to support this podcast across social media, you can do so. We're on X at Damn Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Pod of the Damned. We're on emailing us. That was fucked up, wasn't it? Damn it. We'll start off the second 100 like we started off the first. You can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. You get early access to all of our episodes on Patreon. You get the video recordings of all of our episodes on Patreon. You also will get a new side series of monthly episodes on Patreon where me and Nico will be reviewing non-horror movies. Our January non-horror movie is going to be Dune, which we'll hopefully be recording in the next week or two. And then that'll be coming out for everyone. And then we'll be releasing monthly episodes. And I'm trying to come up with some other stuff to come up there. It's just £1 to subscribe. Patreon.com/podofthedamned. So, Nico, we're talking all about Aliens. You know the leaderboard. The leaderboard has been updated. Where do you think the Aliens is gonna come on the leaderboard? What are you laughing for, Nico?
I wonder where. I've said it multiple times. I think this is the movie that's gonna go top.
You think this is gonna be the number one? This is the one. This is finally gonna be the movie that displaces Alien from number one.
Okay. I think that.
We thought that about Jaws when that came out, and it didn't.
I thought it, but it was close.
It was very close. It was very, very, very close. It was less than a tenth of a. It was less than a tenth of a point, separating them. But Alien just held on to its place. I'm getting really upset because if this does go top, that bumps Halloween down to fourth, and I'm not sure I'm emotionally prepared for that.
Yeah, but if it does, it's just with this movie. It is valid.
Listen, only three movies up until now have gotten a score of over 9 out of 10 on our leaderboards. It's a very, very elite club. So whether or not that continues remains to be seen, but we shall get into it. Shall we talk about this movie then?
Yes.
Okay. This is one that we've all been really looking forward to. We are talking all about Aliens.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study, not to bring back, but to wipe them out.
That's the plan.
All right, people, on the ready line. Iron Man!
Yeah!
Iron Man!
Yeah!
Where are you? You on the ready line, Marine? Get down to die! Get on the ready line!
Talk to me, Hudson!
I got signals. I got readings in front and behind.
There's nothing back here.
Look, I'm telling you, there's something moving and it ain't us.
Get them out of there!
Ah!
How could they cut the power, man? They're animals.
There's movement all over the place. 5 meters, man. 4.
Aliens. This time, it's war.
This movie was released in 1986, was directed by James Cameron, and starred Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, and Carrie Henn. The IMDb plot is as follows. Decades after surviving the Nostromo incident, Ellen Ripley is sent out to re-establish contact with a terraforming colony, but finds herself battling the alien queen and her offspring. Well, Nico, stop your grinning and drop your linen. Let's fucking review this movie.
This movie is...
No, actually, I'm just... going to... No, I'll stop you. Let me stop you right there, Nico. Because okay. I want to start this slightly differently. I want you to start off this review by telling me something you don't like about this film.
That I don't like?
Yeah.
Oh, Burke. That's the only thing I don't like in this movie, and you're meant to not like him, so it's fine.
I was about to say, like, that's not even like a negative on the movie. That's just a character you hate because he's a dick.
Yeah. And you're meant to hate him.
You are literally meant to hate him. You have, like, there's nothing else in this movie that you think, like, that you could possibly criticize.
Fucking genuinely, I cannot. Like, I can't. Is there anything you can criticize about this?
There's one thing, Nico.
What? One? What is
it? So, in the original movie Alien, right?
Yeah.
It was one alien, it was one xenomorph against the entire crew. And yeah, that was the whole movie. The only thing I would say against Aliens is that I think they made the xenomorphs too easy to kill. I think they diminished the effect of a xenomorph ever so slightly, because they kill a fucking shit ton of xenomorphs when we've just spent an entire 2.5 hour movie, Alien, and they couldn't even fucking kill one. Now, I get that it's different settings, different tones, different all of that, and we'll get into all of that, but...
So, I can explain that very easily.
Go for it.
So, the one that was on Nostromo was... It was one of the... What they called again? The fucking... The male ones that breed with the queen. So it's like the king one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot harder to kill.
Okay, well, I mean, I just think this is me, I'm being very nitpicky.
Because what they're killing is essentially drones. Everyone knows that they're based on bees and the way that bees work, right?
Bees?
But you've got different types. Yeah,
bees or ants,
you can say either way, right?
Okay.
The queen, the kings, well, they're not called kings, but I can't remember what they call them. And then you've got the drones, the yeah, ones that are just fodder. And the ones that they're killing dozens and dozens of are the drones.
Okay.
And you've got to remember, it is meant to be the most elite group that's doing it.
Okay. No, I get that. I listen, again, like I say, I'm being nitpicky. It's probably just like the one thing that I would say that I think that this movie kind of didn't do as good, but, like, listen, that's it. Like, I think from now on till the end of this movie is just going to be probably me and you gushing about how much we fucking
yeah,
love this film. I mean, but before I've got a question for you, Nico. Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No, have you? That is one of my favorite lines.
I think I'm just gonna filter the lines in throughout the rest of the episode.
Sheera, come here.
Oh, right. Let's fucking talk about this movie then. Now, this movie is considered part of like an elite group of movies where the sequel is better than the original, right? And
yes, so this is one of the Holy Trinity.
Right, for those who don't know, explain the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity is three movies that were better than the first movie. And it didn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was called the Holy Trinity. Now, depending on where you are in the world, there are different Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
But so what's over the, here?
What's your Holy Trinity?
Well, over here, the Holy Trinity in the UK was Godfather Part 2, Aliens, and Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what it was here.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I'd stick with that.
Okay. Well, I wanted to, like, so I've created a list of movies, a list of movie sequels. And I want to just throw some of these out there at you. Some of them are horror, some of them are not horror. But I want to throw some of these out there as potentially being movies that might be better than their original and see whether or not you agree with it or not.
Okay.
And you've listed, you've just listed a couple of them. So, Godfather Part 2. Yeah, you go with that?
100%. Right, Godfather was great. And then when they brought the second one out, I remember I got told that this was better than the first one. And that normally puts a dampener for me because I'm always going to go. But when you say that,
yeah,
normally it bumps it up too much and it's going to be bullshit.
Yep.
And I watched it and it was amazing.
Yeah. The other one that I'll just get out there, you've already mentioned Terminator 2.
Don't even need to say anything about that. It is perfect.
Okay. Right. Let's go through some of these other ones that I've put down on this list. So we've got Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, I do like that as well.
Better than the original Star Wars movie?
A New Hope, you mean?
Better than A New Hope? The original Star Wars movie?
Yeah, I 100% think that is better, yes.
What have I got here? Okay, Batman Returns.
Fucker. That is... yes. Because... it's Michelle Pfeiffer in a cat suit. I can't say fuck all else to that.
Okay, sticking with superheroes, The Dark Knight.
Nah.
You think Dark Knight's not better than Batman Begins?
See, everyone says it because of Heath Ledger's performance, but I think he's the only thing that's good in that movie.
Okay.
So everything else around it was better in the original.
Okay, controversial one here then. Dawn of the Dead. There's an argument out there to be made, though.
I know.
Like, even though, like, we don't necessarily need to agree with all of these, but it's just potentially ones out there that there's an argument to be made.
Yeah, see, that one I think we'll have to actually do in a podcast because there's a lot to that one.
Yeah, fair it is. Blade 2. Definitely.
No.
I just threw that one in there. It bugged you. Yeah, okay.
That's not even the third best one, you know what I mean?
Oh, go fuck yourself. If you... no, I'm not accepting that. Evil Dead 2.
See, yes, Evil Dead 2 I do prefer. But...
you prefer Army of Darkness over Evil Dead 2.
That's one that I went, it's good. It's better. Okay. Can't got any better. Oh shit, it's got better. Put the guy D now. You motherfuckers.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Oh, okay. That's definitely one that's... it's a debatable one, though. There's definitely people out there who have that train of thought.
Oh, yeah. But
Dream Warriors.
That's not the second one, though.
It doesn't have to be the second one.
You were saying that what we're talking about is the Holy Trinity, where it is the second movie is better than the first.
I'm bending the rules slightly for this one. I'm bending the rule for a couple of them, to be fair.
So, no.
No? And
because the first one is so much better than the second.
Okay.
But the third one's better than the second.
The Devil's Rejects.
Ooh. I'm not sure.
That's a tough one, though, right?
I know.
That's a real tough one.
Yeah, I think I'll go for it. Yeah, Devil's Rejects is better.
Okay. The Real T2, Terrifier 2.
The what?
The Real T2.
We're going back to Terminator, like.
Terrifier 2.
Terrifier 2. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Pretender. I don't know. See, I like the second one better than the first one, I think.
There you go. That's all we're asking for then, isn't it?
I think it's one of those ones. Which one's shitter, in my opinion? That's the problem.
I mean, you did rate Terrifier 2 pretty highly.
I know. but
so
still.
To say the last shit one, I think, is a bit disingenuous of you there, Nico.
I like it for what it is. It's the building of a franchise.
Oh, know what? You know what? I'm actually totally wrong. You rated Terrifier higher than Terrifier 2.
I thought that. So I'm sitting here going, did I fuck up?
Question yourself. Okay, anyways, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's not the second one either.
No. Again, I said I was bending the rules slightly for a couple of these.
See, I love a bit of Sean Connery, and that is one of my favourite movies.
It's the best Indiana Jones movie.
It's not.
It is. You're not telling me Raiders is the best.
Raiders is the best.
No, no. Last Crusade is the best. Dial of Destiny is the best.
Temple of Doom is fucking close, though.
Temple of Doom is probably my favorite growing up, but it's easily the worst of the original three.
But you gotta love the Nazis face melting scene. Yeah.
Anyways, the last one I've got on this list, Nico, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
See, I'm gonna get lynched for this. Like, Lord of the Rings is alright.
I knew you weren't going to make it to 102, Nico.
It's all right, but that's a generational gap thing. That's all that is.
But anyways, so my point there being is that
there are a few.
This whole idea of the Holy Trinity is a bit of a fabrication, really. This whole idea.
You've got to remember when the Holy Trinity came out, it was the 80s, and there was not a lot of sequels that were better in the 80s.
No, and a lot of these movies that I've just mentioned have been. Post that, the Batman movies.
They do that deliberately to try and get compared.
But a lot of them weren't as well. You think you got Empire Strikes Back in there. You've got Dawn of the Dead. You've got Bride of Frankenstein. So a lot of these movies were around that time period as well.
No, but all those ones you said, there's an argument. The Holy Trinity, there is no argument.
Well, this is where I want to bring it shuddering back. I still think with Alien and Aliens, purely, right, and I'll tell you for why, because they're so tonally different.
Which was a genius move, I think.
But because of that, I still think there's an argument to be made, and I prefer Alien.
No, you take that back.
No, if you... put gun to my head and said, Ian, sit down and pick one of these, I would pick Alien over Aliens.
See, I'm the other way, but the reason that the Holy Trinity is there is because they say the Holy Trinity, the first ones were all meant to be perfect text.
But this is what I'm saying as well, though. But this is what I'm saying as well. Because they're so totally different, right? Let me slightly amend what I was saying. So if I was to sit down, someone says, sit down and pick a horror movie, and your choice is Alien or Aliens, I'm picking Alien. If someone was to say, pick an action movie, then I'm picking Aliens.
But here's the thing, if you're just sitting there, right, no genres in it, and you go, pick one movie, every time Aliens wins for me. Because it's got both action and horror.
But the horror is so, so much less. Like, when you go through this movie and you think, what's the genuinely, horror scenes in this movie, right? Okay, so you've got the scene where Ripley and Newt are trapped with the facehuggers. I would say that's like a genuine horrific scene.
The bit where the Marines go in and the walls start turning into aliens.
Yep, 100% agree with you there. That's an absolutely horrific scene. Definitely counts as part of being horror.
The ending where she's fighting the Queen.
Would you say that's pure horror, though?
Oh, that's fucking terrifying, Buck, then.
Yeah, I would certainly go with aspects of that. I wouldn't maybe say that that's 100%. I still say that possibly is pushing you slightly back into action. Especially when you think about how that scene is conducted,
I think it's horror.
You think it's horror? Well, with opinions like that, Nico, you're on an express elevator to hell going down. Have you missed this, Nico?
This is gonna be a fucking bad one for it as well. Right. So back to the point I was making.
Okay.
Right. Is the reason that they said it was a Holy Trinity is because the three original movies were all meant to be perfect tens and couldn't be bettered. So they made them better.
Okay.
And I don't think they're wrong with this one.
I mean,
I genuinely think this is a better movie all round. The, like, when even when they're just sitting talking to each other, they're zoomed right in, you're drawn into every character. You know what I mean? They do that deliberately, so it feels like you're talking to them face to face.
But they did that in Alien as well, really, though.
Yeah, but they do it. They take all the really good elements of Alien, and then they set it straight away. How would you deal with the containment of it?
Yeah.
And it was to evolve it to get the queen in it to make it more terrifying with future, like, basically the next one.
Well,
then they fucked it with Aliens.
Well, there you go. I was literally going to say, let's briefly sort of talk about the rest of the franchise then. Because I think there's been very, very varying degrees of success with any Alien movie beyond this, to be honest with you. I think it is widely considered, like, regardless of whether you do think that Alien or Aliens is better, that these are two movies that are just widely considered to be the best out there, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can think Aliens is slightly better, that's fine. I can think Alien is ever so slightly better. We can have our reasoning for that. But there's no one out there that's going to deny that these aren't two of the absolute best movies just in general, not even horror, just two of the best movies of all time, ever.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there's no other Alien movie that even comes close
agreed
to, like, the quality of the first two.
It. Well, they fucked it with the third one because they were originally going to have it so that the aliens were coming to Earth.
So I think they fucked it with the third. I think they fucked it as soon as they just, like, casually disregarded Hex and Newt. I think that soured so many people straight away. Like, they
exactly. This is what I was the way to say, because they were originally going to have it where they came to Earth and one of the pods had been stuck to the outside of the ship.
Yeah.
So the alien fucking, it was an egg and it was a new one going that way. That was what the original was going to do. And then they just threw that script away and went, fuck it, we're sending it on a fucking prison colony and we're getting rid of the two folk that you fell in love with.
So what for you then is, like, the worst or the best beyond that? Like, best and worst, everything after Aliens.
After Aliens?
Yeah. So you've got Alien 3, you've got Resurrection, you've got Aliens versus Predator, Aliens versus Predator 2, you've got Prometheus, you've got Covenant. Have I missed any? I think that's it, isn't it?
Out of them, it would be Prometheus, then...
That's the best.
Then Resurrection.
Is the next best or Resurrection is the worst?
The worst is definitely 3.
No, the worst is AVP2. Come on.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was there, sorry. Yeah. AVP2 is the worst, and then the third one.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because AVP is better than the third one, because the third one is just fucking horrid.
I miss this one because obviously we've got a new Aliens movie coming, hopefully at some point this year. We talked about it briefly in our preview episode, and I want to bring this up, this sort of comparison up, because obviously they had a versus franchise against each other, but, you know, Aliens and Predator are movies that have been compared against since, you know, their release, you know, and drawn against. And Predator was another franchise that, barring number one, there wasn't really anything that came close. Predator 2 is good, but it didn't hold a candle to number one. And then, you know, Predators and The Predator were all really, come on, like, they were all terrible.
Yeah, then you get fucking Prey.
And then you get Prey, which absolutely lights a fire back under the franchise. And I feel like we're waiting for that moment when it comes to Aliens.
See, they're talking about the reboot of doing Alien versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're either going to do it like a TV show, or they're going to do it in a series of movies. It's not just going to be one movie. If they do that, they have to start it the same way they did in the comics.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, it's the aliens on the Predator's homeworld.
Yeah. So.
And it's epic.
Yeah. So let's take it back to aliens, because I don't want us to go too far off track. What is it then specifically that you think makes this, like this the great one of the greatest sequels of all time? What is it that makes this part of the Holy Trinity? What is it that makes it better than Alien?
So, in Alien, it is you should just listen to the woman with the cut. That's the be all and end all this. They stick with that, but they get two folk that actually listen to the woman with the cut, whilst everybody else fucking dies. I like that, because that made me laugh. Internally, it gave me a chuckle, you know? It's like, that made sense. Also, they throw in, like, the fucking whole Marine stuff, the camaraderie in them lot. It seems genuine.
Yeah.
It seems like they're having fun. Seems like they're fucking, they were a unit, you know?
Well,
what I mean?
So
and they're meant to be a fucking...
Yeah. So, before filming, they sent all the people who are part of that crew on like an SAS course to build up that camaraderie, but Sigourney Weaver, Lance Henriksen, and obviously Newt,
Burke,
they didn't obviously go on the course because they wanted there to be that disconnect between them.
Yeah. Like they don't even send the lieutenant boy either.
Yeah,
because I know about that. It was literally the unit, and that was it. And it was more than one they sent them on as well.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him on a few of them. But yeah, like, everybody loves Vasquez. Even though she's the reason that they get in fucking trouble.
Listen, when it comes to the Marine Corps, there's only one thing I need to know. Where they are. What?
How'd you get out of this shit show?
Yeah, you're right. Everyone loves Vasquez.
What
it's funny because it's actually Jeanette Goldstein's movie. It's her film debut, this film. This is the first film she was ever in. Near Dark actually came out the year after this. I originally, in my head, had it that it was the other way around, but it wasn't.
I thought that too.
Yeah, no, this was her first movie. Jeanette Goldstein's just someone who I love anyway. Like, she's such a good... You know, talking about things that are maybe like underrated, I think she is so underrated as an actress.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, she's been in so much incredible, like, she's got a really great film reel, she's still in things to this day, you know, I think she's someone who's like, and in her heyday as well, she was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like
that's the thing. See, Vasquez, right? You're not meant to fancy fucking Vasquez.
But
like,
you do.
You're meant to be like, oh, she's a fucking tomboy. She's this booch fucking bitch. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Not joking. I was like, I like this booch fucking bitch.
Oh, she'd teach you a thing or two. She'd ride the shit out of you.
That is one of those moments where it's, yeah, you're getting ridden.
Your penis would be red raw.
Brace yourself. You know what I mean?
No, but I get what you mean, but fuck me, like, fuck me, yeah, literally.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about the cast then, because...
Like, what's the other movies that she was in that fucking I really like?
Near Dark?
Fucking...
Terminator
Near
2?
Dark. Yeah, Terminator 2, fucking Lethal Weapon
Lethal
2.
Lethal Weapon 2, yeah, she's got a great, like...
Fuck yeah.
She's got a great, you know... sort of filmography there, just there alone, you know, like that's four of like the biggest movies.
She was in, oh fuck, what was the name of it? Oh, give me a second, fill in for a second, because I'm trying to remember the name.
Every
name
single
of
time
it.
We do an episode, Nico, I've got to fill in for you. Fucking hell.
Well,
do you feel
you
like
know Cindy,
do you,
you
feel
know
like...
the name of it, right? You know the Cindy Crawford movie she had? She was in that as well, and she was like the only good thing in that movie.
Oh, I can't remember the movie. I'm having a look through her filmography just now, see if I
I'm
can
just
come up with
the same
anything
actually.
Else. Because
it was one of the Baldwins was in it as well.
Yeah, and I mean she was in
fucking awful.
She's obviously done a stint on like a odd episode appearances here on like some big TV shows like LA Law. She was in Star Trek Generations. She was in Titanic.
Fucking hell. I didn't realize she was in Titanic.
She was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. you know, she's just, and then more recently into the 2000s, you know, she maybe not had like such big movies, but you know, still in quite a few things. She had a few years there in sort of like between 2014 and 2019 where she didn't star in much. But just that alone, you know, that's like an incredible
filmography. I'm looking through her fucking, I might be wrong, she might not have been in it, but there was a movie with Cindy, here's it, Fair Game, she was in it.
Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about as well is not just Jeanette Goldstein, it's the entire fucking ensemble cast that we've got here, because this is, what a fucking cast this is. So obviously you've got Sigourney Weaver returning as Ripley. You know, Sigourney Weaver, she is in our Horror Hall of Fame, and she's in there for a reason. Michael Biehn, who obviously had also been in Terminator, and was just sort of huge at the time as well, wasn't he? Like, everything was so high for him. Not seen, it kind of, I don't want to say died off, because I don't think died off's maybe being fair, but
like, I loved him in Tombstone. Like, in that, he is fucking brilliant. The only person better in that movie is the guy he fucking faces in a fight to the death.
Yeah.
Is Val Kilmer, you know what I mean? The two of them played off each other so well.
Yeah, but I mean, to come off of Terminator, you know, and then a couple of years later to go straight into Aliens, you've essentially been in probably two of the biggest movies of the 1980s.
And The Abyss as well.
The Abyss as well, and these are obviously all James Cameron works, so you know, it's obviously, and we've talked about this, like, all directors have this, where they have, like, cast and crew that they prefer to work with, and, you know, I think we talked about it on the award show with, like, Mike Flanagan, you know, but John Carpenter had it, you know, Wes Craven had it, like, they all have it. So you've got Michael Biehn in there, you've got Mark Ralston, who is just, like, he's one of those actors who's just fucking been in everything, but no one knows what his name is. But he's just got such a recognisable face. I actually rewatched Rush Hour the other day and forgot that he was in that as well. But you know, you've got him in there, you've got Jeanette Goldstein, William Hope, who plays Lieutenant Gorman here. You know, he was, I think the most recent thing I saw him in was the terrible Netflix Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Because he plays like the sheriff. Lance Henriksen, who, you know, we've talked about many times, you know, he's great in here. Paul Reiser, who plays Burke, who really, for, you know, does such an incredible job.
I love him in Beverly Hills Cop,
but how good a job does he do here, being that, like, guy you just fucking hate?
He's got that face that you just want to punch in this.
And I think as well, because they went so long in the movie where you weren't sure. You weren't really sure about him. I remember first time I watched this, and I was like, is he the bad? Is he bad? Is he, like, a bad guy? You weren't sure. Like, there was a part of you that maybe just thought he was being slightly genuine. And so I just didn't do it so well. And then you've got, for me, the star of the movie. It's Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bill Paxton, because fuck me, he is incredible in this film.
What's the stupid thing about him again? Is it not fucking, he's been killed by the Terminator?
Yeah.
Predator.
And an alien. And a fucking xenomorph. Alien. Yeah, something like that, yeah. You know, and you know, when I watched that scene for the first time where he's unfortunately being killed by a xenomorph, I did think to myself, get away from her, you bitch!
Oh, Jesus.
I'm killing myself.
I have noticed.
Bill Paxton's performance, like, we've talked about in previous films about actors who chew the fucking scenery with their performances. People like fucking Donald Pleasance in Halloween movies and things like that. Fucking, this is like the quintessential, this is how you just fucking eat the scenery kind of movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Would this have been a worse movie without Bill Paxton? Considering that he doesn't actually play, like, one of the most major roles. Like, I know he is one of the... But he's not Sigourney Weaver. He's not Michael Biehn. He's not Carrie Henn. He's not, you know... He's not Burke. He's just one of the squads.
He's the comic relief guy.
But Vasquez has those moments as well.
Oh, yeah, but he is the comic relief guy, really. And even when you say that about Vasquez, every single time she's funny, it's when fucking Bill Paxton's there as well.
I mean, Bill Paxton is just, he's an incredible actor. He was an incredible actor. He's so good in everything that he's in.
Yep.
And he absolutely makes this. That makes this fucking movie.
The thing about this movie is they do go totally balls to the wall with it. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of scenes in it where you're like, fucking, you're not at the edge of your seat.
Yeah. I think the thing for me is as well, because obviously the movies, I mean, there's quite a big gap between Alien and Aliens. You know, this isn't a movie that just came out like a year or two later. There's a 7-year gap, I want to say, between the two movies.
And I'm trying to remember the gap between when they were there and the Terramorphs and all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
Because they mention it in a movie as well. So it's like everything's meant to...
have advanced. So Ripley's been in hypersleep for 57 years.
That's it, aye. I'm trying to remember.
So obviously this is supposed to be 57 years in the future. And I think they did such an incredible job with the effects and just keeping that... Because one of the big things about this, and I'm gonna slightly shift gear and talk about a video game for a minute, because there's a video game out there called Alien Isolation, right?
Yeah.
Which you're aware, I'm sure you're aware of, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware of. And for me, it is the best horror video game of all time. Like, it is just the number one. And it's not necessarily, it's not because of the subject matter, it's not because of the topic, it's because they get the atmosphere right, and because they get the setting right, and it's so perfect. And I think then here, they do the exact same, because there is obviously a very different feel between Alien and Aliens. And it's not because, obviously, the setting is different, but it does feel like it's kind of been updated, but still like is like that kind of dated feeling that you get from an Alien franchise.
Yeah.
But updated from Alien, because Alien, you go back and watch Alien now, of course it's going to feel a bit dated at times, because, you know, it's the 70s and, you know... effects and in that 7-year gap, just in that 7-year gap, I think between 1979 and 1986, effects had come on so much.
And I think they use it very, very well in this.
Yeah, and you're right. Like,
The special effects don't feel dated. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking unique for fucking that. You know what I mean? Because at that time, you watch other movies, and a lot of them, the effects are dated.
Yeah, 100%. I think as well, like, going back to what you're saying there about being on, like, the edge of your seat, but let's talk about, like, the big fucking finale then, because that fight, the final fight between Ripley and the alien queen, you know, it goes on for such a long time, from the moment where she first discovers her in the sort of, in the nest, all the way until finally destroying her, like, finally, like, making her shoot out of the escape hatch or whatever it is you want to call it, you know, it's just tension the entire time. And there's such highs and lows there in emotions as well, because, you know, she touches, there's the initial discovery, but then there's that moment that's like where she goes up in the elevator, but then you immediately come crashing back down because you think that Bishop's flown off without her. And then you've got the low again because the alien queen's coming up in the elevator. Then you've got that whole fight, and then she escapes. And then you think it's all over, and then you've got another fight because, oh no, the alien queen was hanging on to the side of the ship. And it's just such an emotional roller coaster. And then, of course, it's got that incredible line. That's the one thing that this film has that probably Alien doesn't for me. It's got that line where you just go, fucking yes!
Just the one, Just the one. You haven't been saying any other ones, right?
No, but it, you know what I mean, though? It's got that moment where she comes out and she says, you'll get away from her, you bitch, and you're just like, fucking yes! Like, it's... you actually, like, fist pump the air kind of moment.
It is. It's, like... this movie, the way that they do it with the Marines and everything, where they're just fucking beat right down as well, with that first scene for Vasquez gave them a eclipse, and they're fucking like, get the fuck out or the whole place has got to explode.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, like, fucking, that is fucking brilliant. And the scene that always gets me in that whole bit is the shotgun in the mouth. When he puts the shotgun in its mouth and the fucking blood sprays everywhere, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like, there's not one scene in this that feels like it's filler.
No.
A lot of the times you're watching a movie and you can see it, you're like, they're part of this a bit.
And this is not a short movie either. I mean, it's not exactly particularly long, but it's about, what, 2.25 hours?
Something like that. Yeah. And there's not one bit, like, normally in a 2-hour movie, you're getting dead arse in a cinema. There's not one point of this that you're like, yeah, I need to just stand up and move about. You know what I mean? You're like, you're glued. You're there. And even now, rewatching it, still am. Like, I watched this about 6 times since I knew we were reviewing it. And
we only figured out we were reviewing it about 6 days ago.
I know. And it's just, I can't stop watching it over and over. It's bringing me right back to when I watched it originally. Yeah. It's, you're there again when you first watched it. So it's got everything. It's got the nostalgia factor. It's got the fact that this is just sheer genius. And it's got everything. This could have been a huge, huge franchise that just gave money to everyone. Mm-hmm. And the thing that fucked it is the next movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why they threw that script out when it was coming to Earth, I've no idea. Because that just sounds like it would be fucking epic.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll never know. But, you know, obviously, again, one of the big things about, you know, franchises and sequels is that quite often it's not the same director that's in charge of previous movies. And we've heard that about big franchises that we've reviewed before, like Nightmare on Elm Street with Wes Craven, like the Halloween franchise with John Carpenter. And here again, we had Alien that was originally directed by Ridley Scott. And obviously James Cameron taking over. Is James Cameron just like the sequel king?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Obviously, he did The Terminator, but to do Terminator 2 and Aliens within, what was it, a year, 2 years apart?
And they're both in that Holy Trinity.
You know,
as well.
Like, and, you know, you look at, like, his filmography as well, from the Terminator movies to Aliens to Titanic to the, you know, for as much as you might not like it or disagree with it, you know, he's got the highest grossing movies of all time in the Avatar franchise.
Yeah.
True Lies. You know, like, this guy has just created some of the most iconic cinema of all time. And
yeah,
you must,
it's not just one genre you can
but
do.
This, yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Everything.
So does this then put him into the, he must be in the sort of category of the greatest of all time.
He's always going to be in the conversation because of how much his movies have made. The thing is, he's very good at getting an audience to feel the emotions he wants them to feel.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do as a director. Like, you see folk do it and they fuck it up all the time. He's exceptional at making you just, you know, you'll be looking left and then fucking someone will come out the fucking right side and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He's just an amazing director.
Yeah.
Everything in this movie is fucking perfect. Like, that bit when you realise Burke fucking is a cunt is just epic. And when he gets his comeuppance, but he's fucked them over, you know? When he slams that door closed.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's fucked them over again. He's gonna be, there's no way he can be the survivor. And you're thinking that in the back of your head, but you're still thinking that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And it just instantly fucking, like, Paxton again, he's screaming, come on, you bastard, and everything, you know? And it's just, that scene is just, it's fucking brutal but beautiful.
Yeah. I think one of the things they did as well is, so obviously in the original Alien movie, you know, one of the biggest moments of that film is the chest-bursting scene, right? Because...
Yeah.
And obviously that was a big moment in the movie because we'd never seen it before. Now, obviously, going into Aliens, the cat is well and truly out of the bag, right? About what the aliens are and what they do. We still get a chest-bursting scene in this movie, but I'm really happy they didn't put as big a focus on it.
See, I preferred the one where they throw you the curveball at the start.
Where you think it's in Ripley.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I saw that and I'm like, no. Because you're thinking, well, it hadn't been done yet, but you're thinking like along the lines of fucking they cannot kill the main character at the start. So you're thinking like they did it in Scream.
Yeah. I actually rewatched Scream last night just because you know, I wanted to chuck something on, and was thinking about, you know, Drew Barrymore and that.
And like everything around that was thrown in that she is the main character, she's the main focus, it's not Sydney. And then the very first thing that happens is they kill the main character. Yeah. Well, I'm not being a dick, see that bit where you think it's a way to happen to fucking
Ripley,
and you're like, you're genuinely there like, motherfucker, you know, like, it is, are you fucking, and then she wakens up and you're like, you fucking dirty cunt, you know what I mean? But it would have been an easy way to do this. It would have been an easy way to transition into another fucking movie.
Yeah.
But so I'm glad they didn't, but still, the curveball on it, he gets you with that straight away.
Well, what I want to talk, because I want to talk about Ripley and I want to talk about Sigourney Weaver, because obviously, you know, the trope of the final girl is one that is well preceded Aliens. But I think when it comes to that sort of conversation of great final girls, I think sometimes Sigourney Weaver and Ripley can be a little bit overlooked by horror, possibly because this movie is seen as to be less of a horror movie than, you know, some of the others. But, you know, people will always say Sidney Prescott or Laurie Strode or, you know, or Heather Langenkamp or, you know, any of these other sort of characters that appear in the sort of big main franchises. They always seem to be... But for me, Ripley is so... is definitely in that conversation, but she's so unique in comparison to all of them. Don't get me wrong, in all of their various movies, they're all very, like, badass women at certain points of the franchise. Ripley's a fucking badass bitch all the way through this fucking film.
Yeah.
Like, even at the very beginning where, you know, her life's not in danger, even when she's just fucking chewing out the board of directors for, you know, like, she's like, oh, did you all your fucking IQs drop or something? You know, like, she's just absolutely taking no shit from fucking anyone at any point of this movie. And then that image, like, again, the imagery at the end where she's, like, carrying the child, she's carrying Newt, and then she's got the fucking flamethrower in one hand, and then, again, going back to that final fight scene where, you know, that door opens and there she is in, like, the loader. It's just fucking ace. Like, if I was like a young girl and you wanted like a film icon to look to, fucking Ripley is it, right?
Oh, 100%. She's just, she is a badass. It's like, Vasquez is a badass than her.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole fucking, like, even the bit with the grenade, you know, where it fucking, she's fucking grabbing it.
Yeah.
And they're fucking, where they've got an alien either side, where they're going through the ducts. That's the thing. A lot of people say it doesn't have the claustrophobia effect in this one.
They still have the scene in the vents.
Aye, there's so much that is actually claustrophobic in it, but it's on a bigger scale of claustrophobia.
I think for me, the claustrophobia still does kind of come into this, especially in scenes where, like, that scene, for example, where Hudson, Bill Paxton's character, is telling him that you can, you know, he can read the alien's signal on the motion detector, but they can't see them, and they get closer and closer and closer and closer. Even though they're not necessarily confined, it feels very claustrophobic because we know the aliens are there, we just can't fucking see them. And that, to me, is very claustrophobic as well.
I love the motion detector shit in this. I fucking absolutely love it.
Like
that was partly, like, you talk about the Alien games. There was Alien versus Predator, the one on the PC.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
That one where you, when you were playing, so when you were playing it, you became an alien after getting killed.
Yeah, that's right.
So you became your own enemy, and it was a great way of doing it. But I still remember being one of two folk, and it was last man standing type thing, you know. And I'm fucking looking at the heartbeat sensor going, these fuckers are near me. And it brought you straight into the fucking movie again, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm looking at it going, fuckers are here. A decade farther, but the fuckers are here. And it's like, shit like that is really good. That's the thing I find hysterical. The worst movies were probably the Alien versus Predator ones.
Yeah.
But the games-wise, they were so good.
Yeah, honestly.
Absolutely amazing.
Going back to Alien Isolation again, again, you do utilize like the motion sensor heartbeat monitor thing and that, and it's used to incredible effect. There's, you know, so many times where you can hear it going off, and it's not even, and sometimes it's not even the aliens that's setting it off in that game. It's the synthetics who are just as big an enemy in that game as the fucking xenomorphs are. Honestly, yeah. I think I still have some of the clips of me absolutely shitting myself playing that game on the Twitch. So I'll maybe download some of them and post them on the socials for everyone at some point this week, because like that, it's the perfect setup for tension, and that goes for movies, that goes for games. Unfortunately, it doesn't go for sequels beyond number two, but.
Well, it's just so good. Like even Newt, like everyone goes on about Newt. Fucking, oh, she's just there to fucking give like Ripley something to work off of. Newt's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Like she does it. I love the fact that she's the reason that there was a scene shot over and over and over again.
Yeah. And yeah, you're talking about the slide scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it.
She was deliberately fucking up over and over again. So he said to her, do it properly and use the slide whenever you want.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And he stuck to his word. He let her use it, which is decent, like. But I just love the fact that fucking, like, even the bit where she comes out of the water and the alien's coming up behind her, she looks like she doesn't know it's coming.
Yeah. I mean,
she's really well acted, eh?
I mean, considering this is pretty much her only acting credit as well, she does have an acting credit from 2020 in a cartoon called Thunder Island, but it's like, it's a nothing thing. So this is her only major acting credit. She didn't go into movies after this. She didn't go to TV after this. But she's actually great. And, you know, it's always a bit iffy about, you know, how child performers will be, you know? Yeah. You get varying levels, but I think she's great in this. She's also just like that perfect,
amazing.
She's that perfect level of creepy as well. And I don't know if it's because she's got like the British accent.
Yeah.
But she's like that perfect level of creepy too.
Yeah, because it's like, you're like, has she got a fucking infected? You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're thinking.
Well, that's the thing throughout that entire final sequence, because there's a whole portion of section there where she's been captured by the xenomorphs, and we don't see her until Ripley finds her, and she's all, like, cocooned up.
Aye.
You know, so the doubt is very much, the seed of doubt is there for you, isn't it?
Exactly, and I think that's why they do it that way in the third one.
Yeah.
Started with them fucking...
Yeah, but, like, it left such a sour note, didn't it?
Yeah,
like... I think if you were gonna do that, do it in Aliens. Don't do it in Alien 3.
Oh, listen, did it in Alien 3 at least have her actually come out of the pod first? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Let her get the jet first.
Just,
scene, you know what I mean?
Just want to quickly go back to something, because I meant to bring it up. I was talking about Alien and Predator being sort of movies that are compared to each other. I did put it to a vote on our Twitter, our X page, sorry, about what people preferred, Alien or Predator. And we got 143 votes. Alien won with 72% of the votes. Like, it fucking... took a hope, so people prefer Alien or Predator. So I just wanted to quickly...
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to talk about... there's not much more left that I want to really talk about. I feel like if there's any other points, we'll probably cover them as we go through trivia. Is there anything else you want to bring up, Nico, before we move on?
I do love the scene where Hicks has shown her how to use stuff.
Yeah.
And I was talking about that with one of my mates, because I've been watching this so much. I was talking with a few folk. I won't mention his name, but he goes, I know what that fucking movie misses. And I'm like, what is it? He's like, that scene, they should have just had a sex scene straight there. And I'm like, ah, fuck off. I know he was joking, but even then, you know what I mean? He's like, fucking aye. But you expected her to do, just move the gun out of the way and hey-ho. You know what I mean? Like, fucking...
Why don't you fire a few rounds into me? Well, Nico...
I can get this flamethrower going.
Oh, dear. Well, I think we should move on, Nico.
Yeah,
I think
that tickled me.
I think we should move on, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly. We shall talk about some trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
But that wasn't the worst one, Nico.
It's fucking close.
Is it close? Is it? Okay. We'll start off with the finances, as we always do. According to IMDb, this movie had a budget of $18.5 million and gross worldwide $131 million. So massive finance. And that's just like box office and like worldwide gross. There's so much other factors to be taken into that. It's one of the most successful franchises.
Do you want to know the funny thing, right? I remember when the DVDs and the Blu-rays had all come out, right?
Mm-hmm. You sound so old there.
HMV... This is how old I am. HMV had sales normally in January.
Yep.
And the box set of Alien and Aliens was more expensive than the box set with Alien. Alien 3 and Alien 4. I'm like, buy two, you could throw them away and it would still look the fucking same, you know what I mean? But it was cheaper to buy that.
Yeah.
And it always made me laugh that, because it's right enough that they are the best two.
Yeah. Okay, let's go through some actual trivia then. In both the standard and special edition versions, the 15-minute countdown at the end of this film is exactly 15 minutes. Mm. Which I love little things like that. There's another point in this movie where there's like a different countdown, and it is also the exact length of time it says. Because there's nothing worse, is there, than watch it like a film that's supposed to be like a 10-second countdown, but the scene lasts for like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I love the fact that they did that. Lance Henriksen, who plays Bishop, our synthetic, he actually got food poisoning on the set of this film from the milk and yogurt combination that he had to spew up when his chest was pierced by the alien queen's tail.
Really?
So he had this combination. It sat around under hot studio lights and created a bacterial breeding ground, it says. It started to smell so bad after 3 days of filming that most of the crew members were hesitant to even go near Henriksen at all. He reportedly endured the smell and didn't complain once. What a pro.
Then he got food poisoning. And he's like, got food poisoning.
Sticking with Henriksen, the knife trick scene that he performs at the beginning.
We didn't even talk about it.
It was originally going to just be Bishop doing it alone, but according to Lance Henriksen, he suggested to James Cameron to have Hudson's hand underneath his, which Cameron agreed. The change was discussed with everyone except Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
So
I know about that, but yeah, that was brilliant.
Henderson also, according to this, also remembers a long night of drinking after shooting the scene, followed by a reshoot of the exact scene, as it looked too fake when they sped the footage up. And he, on the reshoot, he caught Paxton's pinky.
Oh.
But that would have stung.
Yeah.
Lance Henriksen, I'm going to stick with all the Lance Henriksen trivia. There's a ton of trivia for this movie. He was also this movie was obviously filmed in London.
Yeah.
He was almost denied entry into the UK when he arrived for filming because he had been rehearsing the knife trick in the USA with several different types of knives, since he didn't know which one James Cameron would be used for filming. So when he arrived in London, he just carelessly brought all these knives with him in his luggage.
Well, back then, fucking, they wouldn't have thought about it.
Well, apparently customs were quite alarmed.
Yeah.
But you got through.
This
is pre-9/11.
Went onto the plane. You went onto the plane. You had metal forks and knives and everything, yeah. I travelled with darts.
Hudson.
Darts used to be there.
Hudson, obviously played by Bill Paxton, says the word man 35 times in this movie.
There's a drinking game with that, you know that, do you?
I know, we should play it once.
Fuck yeah.
Paul Reiser, who plays Burke, when he took his mother to see this film when it was released, and apparently when Burke died, his mother went, good.
I'd disown my son if you acted like that in real life.
The alien slime that covered the sets, much like the movie Alien, it's just KY jelly. It's just KY jelly. But that's what they used in the original Alien movie as well. Sigourney Weaver got a Best Actress Academy Award nomination for this movie. It's the first time an actress ever got nominated for this award purely for like an action-y sci-fi horror type role. So
yeah,
really trendsetting in that way as well. Apparently there was a lot of crew issues with this movie. So James Cameron, like the crew, because normally like a director, a movie or a studio will hire a crew to work a movie. But
yeah,
they recorded this in Pinewood Studios that comes with its own like inbuilt crew. And they really didn't like James Cameron. So apparently none of them had so so you'd face big problems when trying to win the confidence and respect of the British crew. Many of them had already worked on Alien, and so I can see your cat is staring very intently at me.
No.
many of the crew had worked on the original Alien and were really loyal to Ridley Scott as well. So in order to try and convince the crew that he had talent and skills to film Aliens, James Cameron arranged a screening of the Terminator for the crew, which I feel like is a little bit of a dick move, though. Like, if you're already not liking someone and he's like, here, watch one of my other films. Like
if you think I'm a dick, watch this one, it'll prove you're wrong.
Yeah, so he arranged a screening of the Terminator to demonstrate his abilities, but the majority of the crew just didn't show up. Fuck you. I'm not coming to see your shitty film.
That's fucking brilliant.
The alien screams, the sounds the aliens make in this movie is actually shrieks from a baboon.
Is it?
Yeah, they altered it in post and added it in. It's baboon shrieks. There you go.
I didn't know that.
Obviously, a lot of the design work on the original Alien was from the controversial Swiss artist H.R. Giger. And there was talk about bringing Giger back for this movie to do more of the design work, but James Cameron himself said no. Giger was working on Poltergeist 2 at the time, and Cameron had already hired his own people and had his own creature designs in mind, especially for the Alien Queen. He admitted that he considered asking Giger, but he feared that the eccentric artist would be overwhelming and difficult to work with. Giger later expressed some disappointment to Cameron about not being asked back, but apparently he gave the movie his stamp of approval. A couple more pieces of trivia before we move on again. Sigourney Weaver was paid $1 million to reprise her role as Ripley, which was a 30-fold increase on her salary from Alien. Nice. She also received a percentage of the film's gross. So that's where, as an actor, that's where you fucking make your money.
Oh, fuck I.
But in the next two Alien films, so she got $5.5 million for Alien 3, and she got $11 million for Resurrection.
Fucking hell.
So,
say not, she's used enough in fucking Resurrection or the clone thing.
I know, right? The final piece of trivia that I've got, the nuke going off near the end of the movie, the effect of that is actually just a light bulb shining through some cotton.
Was it?
Yeah, so that's how they did that.
That's quite cool.
Listen, there's an absolute ton of trivia out there. I probably could make an entire episode just on trivia for this movie, but I've just sort of cherry-picked some of the stuff that I thought was more interesting. Nico, is there anything else trivia-wise that you want to throw in?
No.
No? Okay. Shall we move...
I just knew about the slide thing.
Yeah. Shall we move on then to our final segment?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's talk about the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
And as always, we'll start off with the critics' scores. IMDb gave this movie an 8.4 out of 10. Metacritic have scored it an 8.4 out of 10. Nico,
I expect that to be higher.
What did you see? This is what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics and audience scored this movie?
See, I remember this was one of the movies that 100% at one point. Is so that, I reckon they're going to be.
Is that thrown you a little bit?
Yeah, it has, because I remember there was a thing saying this was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then it's now down in the 90s. So I know it's in the 90s, but I couldn't tell you what about.
Okay.
You know, for audience.
For audience.
But that with the critics has thrown me, because that could bring the score right down, like.
I love confusing you. It's so much fun.
Oh, fuck up. No. I'm going to go 97, 96.
Oh, so the Rotten Tomatoes audience has this at 94%. The Rotten Tomatoes critics are 98%.
Fucking hell.
Critics' consensus: while Alien was a marvel of slow-building atmospheric tension, Aliens packs a much more visceral punch and features a typically strong performance from Sigourney Weaver. These are still incredibly high scores, even though IMDb's and Metacritic's are probably slightly lower than what you would like. These are still
surprised at that.
Incredibly, incredibly high scores. IMDb and Metacritic are by far probably the harshest of the critic scores that we take. I mean, Halloween, I know you don't like Halloween as much as I do, but according to IMDb only has Halloween at 7.7. Which, when you think about it, and you think about like the impact and legacy of that movie, is an incredibly low score.
What did they have Alien at?
Alien, they had it an 8.5, so there's only 0.1 of a difference, but Alien takes it. Metacritic also has Alien at a higher score. Both Alien and Aliens have the same Rotten Tomatoes critics and audience score. They have the same scores.
The same scores.
Now tell me what, like, that's... And that's, like, it's too coincidental to be a coincidence sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, Nico, it's going to come down to the listeners and us to really decide this one. As always, we throw it out to our audience and listeners and ask for your guys' opinions and thoughts on the movies that we review. You guys certainly didn't let us down when it comes to Aliens. So here's just what a bit of you used to say. A friend of the show, Ren, who will be reappearing on the show again relatively shortly, says, the second greatest sci-fi horror action film behind Terminator 2. I prefer the cerebral stalking of the original, but if you want to go big with that idea, this is the way to do it. A menacing thrill ride from start to finish with the best one-liners of the franchise. 8 out of 10.
What did she give Alien?
I don't know what Ren gave Alien.
That'd be interesting.
Neurospiced gives it a 10. Bloody awesome movie, one of the best. Great actors, characters, dialogue. Scary as fuck aliens that look awesome. H.R. Giger's artwork is astounding. Didn't actually have anything, but obviously the ideas are based off his ideas from the first one. I love Newton Vasquez. Scene with the exosuit is iconic. Just love everything about it. Movies for Days, our friend Newman, also will be appearing on the show shortly. 10 out of 10. One of the best sequels ever made. Great expansion on the established world. Wonderful escalation of creatures and danger. A great build to Ripley's character. Marvelous cast and incredible score that pounds you through this well-paced action sci-fi horror with fervor. R.I.P. Spunkmeyer. Watch If You Dare gives it 9.5 out of 10. Half a point deduction for the lack of horror compared to the first one, but it's still one of the best sequels in film history.
I don't think it's that horror, not horror related, you know?
I'm not saying it's not horror related, it's just in comparison to Alien, the horror is far less.
But still.
Dissect That Film gives it a 10. Cameron does to Alien that he would later do to Terminator, and take a straight up horror film and create an action film that doesn't take away from the majesty of its predecessor, but improves on it and turns it up to 11. Elaine McKay gives it a full 10 for the director's cut, would knock off much for the theatrical version, maybe a 9.8, best movie in the franchise. Kate Lamp says, this has to be a 10 for me. It was one of my first movie loves, and I still watch it regularly, even though I know exactly how it plays out. There are still parts that get my heart racing, and Ripley is a queen. Although it made it possible for me to use my mute voice at any time someone says the word mostly, and for that I am eternally thankful. Shapes and Shadows podcast gives it a 10 out of 10. Action suspense, great atmosphere with killer creature FX. Get away from her, you bitch. And finally, Francis Lalonde, again, friend of the show, regular contributor on Facebook, gives it a 10 out of 10. Though I generally rate films on the high end, he's got a big spiel here, so I've saved him for last. Though I generally rate films on the high end, I get a bit pickier when it comes to ultimate top of the scale ratings. This film, in my opinion, is a 10. If I had to select at least one less than ideal aspect, it might be the length, especially some of the earlier Burke scenes. But this is the film where Ripley becomes Ripley. When she commandeers that APC, I think it's one of the most exciting sequences in film history. And the music score that accompanies it is definitely a thrill-heightening factor. And it still manages to squeeze in some very fun humour to give viewers time to breathe. And if before I'd seen this, someone had told me it somewhat involved a very young child, I probably dismissed it as a pure money grab. Yet that aspect is integral to the overall plot. They mostly come out at night, mostly.
See, we never even talked about that scene when she commandeers it. I love the bit in there where he's calming her down because she's so fucking high that she's just grinding the gears.
Yeah.
That is so good, that.
Yeah. That's it. It's just it's every detail, isn't it? It's just so detailed. Given all that, though, our listeners' average score for Aliens is 9.7 out of 10. So that's just about as high as it can get. There's only one movie that scored higher than that with our listeners, and it was Halloween. It scored a perfect 10. No one had anything bad to say about it. So, Nico, that just leaves me and you. On a scale of 0 to 10, what would you rate Aliens?
And I'm going to give it a 1 with a 0 on it. So it's like I can't remember what you call that thing.
I think you call it a 10, Nico.
A 10. Oh, okay, so I'll give it a 10 out of 10.
You're giving it a 10 out of 10.
Because genuinely, there is not a lot of franchises out there where there is more than one movie that is a 10 in the franchise. And this is genuinely just as good, if not better, than the original.
That's fair. I'm not going to give this a 10.
Disgusting.
But it's going to get one of the highest ratings. I'm going to give it a rating that's really going to piss you off. Alien, I gave Alien a 9.5, which is the third highest movie I've ever rated. I still just, if I had to pick between the two, would pick Alien.
But still just as good.
So I'm going to give it a 9.4.
Oh, dick.
How much has that pissed you off?
What did you take the points off for?
Because it doesn't have the same horror aspects that the first one does. So, yeah, I'll take it off for that.
Shocking.
So...
just because it went a different direction.
So... but I'm allowed my opinion, Nico.
Disgusting.
All of our scores combined with our listeners and the critic scores gives Aliens an average score of 9.3 out of 10. And it means, for the first time in a long, long time, we have a brand new movie at number one on our leaderboard. Aliens takes the top spot with a 9.3 out of 10. Just ahead of Alien and Jaws, that both have a 9.2, and Halloween with a 9.1. It's only the fourth movie to have over 9 overall, and it is our number one rated movie out of the now 93 movies that we have reviewed on this show.
Good. I'm glad it's there. It deserves it.
It has knocked The Cabin in the Woods out of our top 10.
I get it.
Listen, a lot of the movies that are currently in our top 10 will not be in our top 10 by the time we do another 100 movies. So
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. But Aliens is our number one. It's gonna take some going to beat that. And if I'm trying to think of movies off the top of my head, and I think there's possibly only one that's really got a chance.
Oh really? What do you think it'll be?
I think obviously it comes down to listeners. It comes down to listeners and critics probably more than it comes down to us. If I think there's a movie that might have a chance of beating it, probably The Exorcist.
I can see that.
I don't think I could think of much else that could potentially knock that off. That's so universally loved.
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing, isn't it? Like, we can genuinely think that movies are better than the movies that are top of our list. I do. I think we have reviewed better movies than Aliens. But again, it's not down... and it's the whole point of our scoring system, that it's not just down to me and you. I don't think there's anything else that's universally loved. That could dethrone that. And again, talking about franchises... that's Alien and Aliens at number one and number two in our leaderboard. It's taken this long to dislodge Alien, I don't think there's much that will dislodge that either from number two. So I think this is our number 1-2 combo for a long time.
And the thing is, there's not, like as I said it so much times, there's not that much franchises that have got such good movies in it.
Yeah. You know, we talk about my love for Halloween all days of the week, but there's no other movie in that franchise that comes close.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Elm Street and Dream Warriors, but again, they don't come close. There's no Friday the 13th movie that comes close.
Yeah.
There's no Scream movie that comes close. Like this is what I mean. Like in terms of like franchise, Alien and Aliens has to absolutely take that.
And it's worthy as well. It's so good.
Yeah. So with that being said, we are done. And it's you know, that's it, man. Game over. Game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man.
You didn't think I was gonna forget about that one, did you?
No, I expected that one.
So one thing we didn't really discuss, because I didn't think I needed to discuss it, this movie is, I don't know if you noticed, this movie is so motherfucking quotable.
Is it? I never noticed.
I purposefully didn't add that into the actual review section, yeah. But yeah, this movie's so fucking quotable, man. just another fantastic aspect to the Alien movie. But yes, that is going to do it for this week's show. Nico, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me on again.
Yes. Next up on the show, it's your choice of film, Nico. And I don't think you remember what we're covering, do you?
No.
No, we're covering Army of the Dead.
Cool. Nice.
Taking things in a very different direction.
Just slightly.
We're nothing.
We're talking about horror fucking movies that are comedy in it. And yeah, there you go.
We're not anything if not inconsistent, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's up next. On the show, don't forget, if you would like to support this podcast, you can do so on X at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Pod of the Damned. You can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com, and you can subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. That's a lovely tale you got there, Nico.
She keeps moving. I don't know why. She just can't get comfy. She's spinning around and making fucking biscuits as CSS.
Cute. Anyways, thank you once again, Nico, for joining me. Thank you to everyone for downloading and listening to this episode. And until next week on Pod of the Damned, just remember, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
You're damned if you don't.
You fucking dick. Thank you.